How many of us feel our expectations of others are possibly too high? Dr. Jackie Mac-Harris and Dr. Alice Benton fielded that question from Lydia. And lastly, our announcer, engineer, Terry McIntosh, will be reading a portion of a letter from a prisoner that we recently received here at New Life. He actually found a life recovery Bible in his cell. Let's listen in.
Here is Lydia, who's listening to us through the New Life app. Hey there, Lydia. How can we help you?
Hi. I seem to have a problem with being disappointed and frustrated with people because I feel like my standards are higher than theirs, and I seem to take things more seriously than other people do. So I end up being hurt and frustrated and, you know, feeling like, is there something wrong with me? Am I just thinking wrong here? I'm just frustrated. I'm not really sure what to do about it. It's kind of dogged me my whole life, it seems, and family and friends. And not usually in the workplace. I usually don't have that problem in the workplace. The jobs that I've worked, I'm self-employed now, so just me and my husband, so that we have pretty high expectations of each other and we're good. But whenever I volunteer somewhere, or even like in a Bible study or in other activities, it seems like, you know, people around me don't seem to take things as seriously as I do. And when they're not as committed as I am or something, I get frustrated. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you roll your eyes, Lydia, when you see that? I'm asking because this is probably, I kind of feel your pain because I'm kind of in the same situation here. So this is going to be very therapeutic for me as well.
Oh, that's why you roll your eyes at me, Brian.
No,
he's disappointed in me, Lydia.
I would not do that. No, not you.
Lydia, I don't think it's a weird question.
It's a silly question.
No, I don't think it's weird or silly. It is a very important question because you have the self-awareness that you are easily stirred up and disappointed because you may be surrounded by a lot of people that don't have these good high standards that you strive for in your own life. And so to know you have a pattern and then wonder, why do I have this and what do I do about it, is crucial to be able to have more serenity, even though you're surrounded by disappointing people who don't work as hard as you do. So we want to get a little history to try to help figure out where this might have come from. Would you tell us what it was like growing up in your home, especially were your parents perfectionists, and were they tough on themselves and tough on their children to try to raise you well?
I don't think they were perfectionists themselves, but I do think that my dad, his expectations of me were quite high. I was always did well in school, and when I didn't, you know, go do quite as well, maybe once, you know, or here and there, he would always, you know, let me know he was disappointed that I didn't quite make that A+, you know. So there was that, I think.
What was affection like in your home growing up? Were you guys close?
We were close. We spent a lot of time together and we had a lot of fun together. My family was definitely, I mean, if anybody would look at us from the outside, would say, yeah, we had a lot of fun together.
What about from the inside? What about from the inside?
From the inside, too. Okay. I think we were fun. I think we did have, we had a lot of fun. Well, affectionate, though, not, you know, not like physically affectionate. I wouldn't say that was not a huge part of my growing up, no.
So what came up for me when you were talking was the differences in our love styles and attachment styles. And with some attachment styles, there is a anxiety around how things are done and that perfectionistic tendency, because that's where praise was given. And so if we grow up in performative homes, for example, for me, I was told I don't have any dumb children. If I had dumb children, I wouldn't push you, but I don't have dumb children, so I expect A's. And so, okay, so you get good grades. But there wasn't, so there was always love, but there was appreciation and excitement when there was something good done. Mm-hmm. And so some of us grow up and we become performative. Others didn't get that. So for those of us who did, we strive for excellence because that's how we were raised, to strive for excellence. Things were expected of us. But there are other people who were raised in homes that were very, they were more easy flowing and communal and just different, right? If we take the judgment out, it's not bad or good, and you're not wrong. You're not doing it wrong. You're not thinking wrong. You think according to how you were raised. You think according to how you've lived life, and in your perspective, your vantage point, your worldview is different than others. And I agree with Alice, that insight is so good. Mm-hmm. And what I hear you saying is, I don't want to be frustrated with people mm-hmm. for being different from me. And I love that. When we live in a time where so many people are not speaking to other people mm-hmm. because they think differently than they do, I love that you're asking the question, what's up with me? Why do I get all stirred up and everybody else is so laid back? Your gifting is different than theirs. And so when you're volunteering and you're making lists and you're detail oriented and they partner you with the ADD chick that can't get there on time, try not to be frustrated. You can see that, can't you?
I should also say that my husband has ADD. So.
And you guys work well together. You work well together.
We do.
But he strives for excellence, and you know it's hard. When you don't know the hearts of the other people, it can be frustrating. And so when you know someone has ADHD or sees the world differently than you do, your expectations are different. And so you can shift your expectations by deepening the relationships with the people that you're working with in these situations, because then you know them and they know you and you know their strengths and weaknesses. And I think that's why you didn't struggle on the jobs, because everybody was placed where they were supposed to be placed. But when you're volunteering, it's just whoever shows up. And it doesn't look the same. And so think about the relationships and getting to know people. And when you find people doing things that frustrate you, be curious. Mm. So remember, curious, not furious. Seek to understand.
Lydia, God designed our emotions to point us towards information and action he wants us to take. So all of our emotions have meaning to them. And unfortunately, we try to tend to suppress or medicate, distract, or entertain ourselves away from our emotions. And then we miss the message in them. But you're looking for the message in yours, which is what I so admire. So I want you to consider the following things. There perhaps have been major disappointments in your life that you haven't sufficiently grieved, and you might still be holding on to those historical disappointments, which can then exacerbate current day disappointments. So you might feel extreme emotion towards somebody in your life now, but it may actually belong to some other people from the past. And it's by looking for those stories, telling them to an understanding listener, that the disappointment decreases. Grief is the great solvent. Grief helps to dissolve other uncomfortable emotions, and we grieve best by storytelling. It may be that you need grace and forgiveness for something you have done in your life that you're disappointed with. And we sometimes project onto other people what really is true about us. And it bothers us about other people because it actually bothers us about ourselves. So look for the unfinished business that maybe you need grace and forgiveness for from someone. And then I also want you to consider, how do you handle your emotions when they come up? Do you communicate them well? Do you ask for what you need? Do you process them with safe people? Or like most of us, do you try to ignore them, move on, just keep working hard, because then they'll probably accumulate and then they might get to explosive points, or they might leak out, not necessarily explosively, but leak out in an unhealthy way at the people that you care about in your life.
Yeah, I think that where you touched on historical disappointments, I think that's true. I mean, there's been a lot of things in my life where things have not worked the way I wanted them to work, or I haven't, the career I wanted to do didn't happen, or I wanted to have children and I was not able to have children, you know, things like this. And I think that those historical disappointments, I think, is a part of it. I think I do need to look at that. There have been several, I think, big disappointments in my past. A couple of career disappointments, and then again, not being able to have kids. Yeah. I think, you know, those have been, you know, huge disappointments, and I wouldn't say like in the last 10 years, I think I've been pretty settled, but
sometimes when we're settled, we've stored it, right? We're settled because I'm a recovering emotional avoider. So I've got lots of locked boxes of past things that I didn't deal with. I just shoved it in a box, pushed it away, didn't feel it, didn't think about it, and it went away until something happens in the present day that triggers it. Now that locked box is brought to the front and I'm feeling the past and the present mm-hmm. together. And when you don't know about the past stuff, you think it's all the present stuff. Mm-hmm. And so all of that gets directed at whatever is in front of you. So I really love that you were able to hear what Alice had to say and that you can see that there are some places in your life where those disappointments might still be dogging mm-hmm. you.
So I think your path mm-hmm. forward is twofold. It's getting back to therapy if you're not in it to reprocess these stories and these disappointments. And then it's learning to become assertive faster to let the people around you know how their actions are affecting you, but in a gentle, kind, calm way. So I've learned a couple phrases because I also don't like telling people how I really feel when I have uncomfortable emotions. And I'm becoming braver to say faster, ooh, that stung. Your tone or what you just said to me, that stung. Or, oh boy, that didn't work for me, what you just did. Or, huh, that rubs me wrong. And I need these little catchphrases because they give me the courage to be honest when I'm frustrated or disappointed with people rather than acting like I'm just fine, but then I'm going to be really mad at you later. We've got to get honest faster, and that helps the emotions to not accumulate and overwhelm us.
Do we have a resource that we can send Lydia? I was thinking of the Trust book by Henry Cloud.
Oh, that's a great idea.
And there's a reason for that. I was reading the book and I took this quote out. In fact, I posted it on my Facebook page. It's, trust goes far beyond honesty and ethics. Trust is the confidence that someone will guard what is important to you. Even if that person is ethical, you need more than ethics from someone you trust. They can have integrity in all kinds of ways, but they can still prove untrustworthy by not coming through in the ways you are trusting them to come through for you. So it just reminds me of what you're going through, Lydia, because if there's people that don't quite come through all the time and you find yourself maybe getting angry and maybe judgmental and, like I said, rolling the eyes or whatever, I mean, that could be what's going on.
And God didn't come through quite how you needed and wanted him to either, because mm-hmm. you wanted children and he didn't come through for you in that way. So there's grieving for people and grieving for how God doesn't show up how we want him to.